Get up out of bed, get up. Get up with Tim and Jess. Hit CQ.
Good morning. It is Tim and Jess on Hit CQ. It's gone 2 minutes past 6 a.m. and Jess is not here for the rest of the week. She'll be back on Monday, most likely. She had surgery yesterday. I haven't heard, but I assume everything has gone well after tearing her ACL a few weeks ago. I'll keep you as up to date as I possibly can, but I'm sure Jess is doing just fine. But we still have 3 hours of show to go, so we got to get through to that. And just quickly, you might have heard it in the news, but residents and workers in Rocky's CBD reminded traffic changes come into place today for the River Festival. The Riverside car park on Key Street is now closed until next Tuesday. Head to hit.com.au for all the full list of traffic changes over the next week or so. But the show must go on, and I'm very excited because after 8 o'clock, obviously the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup over in Russia is going gangbusters at the moment. I'm enjoying it, and I'm not enjoying not getting a lot of sleep, but sacrifices must be made. And England is going a lot better than anyone ever expected. And after beating Sweden just a few days ago, what's happened is incredible. I'll tell you after 8 a.m. And also, make sure between now and 9 a.m. you're listening out for Harvey the Whispering Whale. He's French. He doesn't speak very often, but when he does, he says words that you need to use at hit.com.au to win you and your family a holiday to Harvey Bay. So make sure you are listening out for Harvey the Whispering Whale. He will be sometime before 9 a.m. But up next, tourism is a massive part of Central Queensland. It's a massive part of any city, really. And one particular artist, singer slash rapper slash pop star, very famous person, has been credited to bringing just an enormous amount of money to their city. I'll tell you who it is up next.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on Hit.
Drake, his new one there, Nice For What. It's 7 minutes past 6 a.m. Tim and Jess here on Hit CQ. Jess back next Monday. And that song there, Drake, Nice For What, it's off his brand new album, Scorpion. It's number one in Australia right now. Very successful, you could argue, that Drake is. And I feel like I'm not alone in thinking that. And look, the reason that Drake was played just then is because Drake is commonly mistaken as someone from the United States of America. Incorrecto. He is from Canada, Toronto, the city in Canada. It's a very beautiful city. If you've never been there before, it was one of my favourite cities I've ever visited in my life. And a new study is claiming that Drake, the singer slash rapper slash pop star, is responsible for 5% of Toronto's tourism economy. And you're probably thinking, 5%, that's nothing, mate. Just because Drake's from Toronto doesn't mean that he's bringing in lots of money. Well, you could be wrong, because he's responsible for a whopping $440 million a year. Now, if I was the governor or the mayor or whoever for Toronto, I would be pretty chuffed with that. I would be sitting back going, Drake, you know what? Thank you. And he's even admitted it. He said, look, people just kind of went crazy when they realised that Drake was from Toronto. Just the mere mention of his name. The native son is here, he would always say. He's got a great brand. We're going to kind of hitch ourselves on and a little bit and just get pulled along all along the way. And look, smart marketing technique. Drake is very, very famous, obviously. Probably one of the biggest artists of the last decade or so. And he's massive in the NBA. He goes and follows the Toronto Raptors in the basketball there. So he's seen quite a lot in Toronto. And I can't believe he's bringing $440 million into a city. Like in my wallet, I've checked. I'm nowhere near Drake, obviously. I have $7 in my wallet. And that's not even for the city. That's just for me. So I feel like if you ever get to Drake's level, you're probably doing things okay. And look, I can't wait to bring $440 million to Central Queensland if I try. I know I'm never going to get that famous, but who knows? I know I can't rap like Drake, but I can get lots of haircuts too. It's not that hard. It's not that hard, Drake.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.
Oh, hello. It is I, Harvey, the Whispering Whale. And the code word that you are searching for today is festival.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on Hit.
Harry Potter nerds, congratulations. Congratulations. You are about to enter a new phase of geek, like the Star Wars universe, in my opinion, because Harry Potter is finally, the Harry Potter universe is finally about to get an extended set of Lego designs. Much like Star Wars, and you can get the Millennium Falcon and the Death Star and all the ships in Star Wars and a lot of the characters that have bajillion pieces. Harry Potter universe is about to get the exact same. So very, very soon, Lego is going to release a full building of the Hogwarts University, which is just ridiculous. I believe it's going to have over 9,000 pieces from what I'm reading. There's also going to be Hogwarts Express, a Quidditch pitch, a Whomping Willow set, and Fantastic Beasts, which is the new crap Harry Potter movie series. So, Harry Potter nerds, welcome to the new level of being a nerd. It must be so exciting. I send all of my congratulations. I send so much positive outreach towards you because you are about to hit the stratosphere of nerdy geekiness. You are welcome.
Trending now at hit.com.au. One, two, three,
four. With Jess away, I finally get to use my beautiful voice to say the biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland. And this one is really hitting me in my nostalgia heartstrings, like I hope it is to you listening right now, because Channel 10 / Wynn Television has confirmed potentially one of my favourite ever and your favourite ever television show is going to return. I am talking about All Aussie Adventures.
All Aussie Adventures. Pack up your swag. Let's go. All Aussie Adventures. All Aussie Adventures. Time to hit the road.
Ba-na-now. Russell Coit's All Aussie Adventures is going to be headed back to our screens in 2018. Now, this show, if you're not familiar with it, ran for two seasons in 2001 and 2002. So a fair while ago for people to be interested to bring this show back. Glenn Robbins created the character of Russell Coit. And after a petition of 13,000 signatures, it obviously spread like wildfire. And Channel 10, a.k.a. Wynn Television, is doing the right thing. And they are bringing back All Aussie Adventures to your screens at some time this year. We're not sure exactly what type of show it's going to be. Glenn Robbins joked that it was going to be more about camp cooking and thinking of call it Master Coit instead of Master Chef. But I feel like it's going to be an extension of the former show, but just Russell Coit, a little bit older in life, hopefully learning a little bit more. It's a fantastic show. I'm looking forward to that coming to our screens before the end of the year. I'll keep you posted as it comes through, and you can read that story plus a heap more at hit.com.au.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.
Tim and Jess on Hit CQ. And speaking of better now, you probably notice if you've been listening for the last half hour or so that Jess isn't here. And first of all, I apologise, but too bad. It's me for the rest of the week by myself while Jess recovers from her surgery. I hadn't actually heard from her since her surgery yesterday afternoon until in the middle of that song. And I'm very excited because I haven't watched it yet and I'm not going to play it until I figure out after 8 o'clock when I play it to you live, Jess's reaction after coming out of surgery. All I know is that she wanted food and there was no food for her, so clearly very, very upset. We'll be playing that audio after 8 a.m. But coming up next, if you've got kids that go to school and sometimes you see their report cards or at parent-teacher interviews, they use terms. And I'm here to break down those barriers and tell you exactly what those terms mean.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on Hit.
If you have kids that are going to school and you get a bit confused with report cards or getting a bit confused with parent-teacher interviews with the terminology the teachers use, first of all, I don't blame you because it can be direct but so indirect at the same time. And you're probably thinking, Tim, that's the most confusing statement I've ever heard. And look, you're not wrong. But here's some phrases that a teacher at a school here in Queensland has released of what it says but what it actually can mean. Like, for example, open to new ideas. Also means easily led into poor behaviour. Has a strong sense of right and wrong. A bit of a telltale. Lively and enthusiastic. Also means hard work. Enjoys working independently. Also not a sharer. And my personal favourite has an interesting and inquiring mind. Constantly asks annoying questions. So, look, I hope that has helped because obviously the explanation and thought process behind report writing can be quite revealing. And if you have peritentiary interviews, I know it's school holidays right now, but coming up in the next few months, hopefully this little cheat sheet can help you so you can understand if your teacher's being a smart ass to you while you're there or not. Hopefully not, hey?
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.
Guy Sebastian, he could be listening right now. He could be in Gladstone because he's performing at the GECC tonight. Jess and I caught up with him a few weeks ago talking about his Then and Now tour. It's coming to Rockhampton as well, the Pilbeam Theatre on July 12th. Here is just a snippet of what we might be able to expect on his Then and Now tour.
There's some stuff that's, there's the kind of the obvious ones like It Like That and, yes. and Like a Drum and Who's That Girl and then I've got even throwback, like I did a ballad with Jordan Starr called Art of Love.
Yes.
And I've got this incredible singer on tour called Fatai, so she's going to do the little duet with me. And then, look, I've got, Set in Stone, a whole bunch of other ballads. But there are a few new songs that I've been writing in the last few months. I sort of had a pretty crazy few months, like over Christmas, just before Christmas, a few things that happened and I was in sort of probably emotional overload and didn't know it. So when I went to start writing, it was like this explosion of like stuff I needed to get out. And literally I've pretty much written the whole album in 2 months.
You've got to be careful because now your management and your record label will be like, mate, it only took you 2 months for the last one. What's taking you so long?
yeah, exactly. I've set a precedent. But yeah. I'm just back to kind of really heartfelt songs that are soulful and like a few ballads, of course, because I do love a ballad.
Loves a ballad, Guy Sebastian. Very classic Guy Sebastian there. But he is performing in Gladstone tonight, Rockhampton, on Thursday night at the Pilbeam Theatre. There's still some tickets available. Go to guysebastian.com/tour. You never know if I can get Guy Sebastian in a headlock and bring him into the studio. I'll try and do that.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
You're probably noticing that Jess didn't say what I just said because Jess isn't here. She's not going to be here for the rest of the week. So I thought it'd be good to just remiss and rewind about fun times that Jess and myself have had with you, Central Queensland, over the last few months. And I want to replay a moment that we're still chasing up because this crime, you can't even imagine how this crime would be committed. Musical crimes are, as I mentioned just earlier, the seventh worst type of crime to commit. Obviously, there's the six before that are very clear. I feel like I don't need to go over them. But this crime in particular had to do with a very interesting musical instrument, woodwind. It's a clarinet, and the case is still ongoing.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
I think a common sentence that we've all heard before at some point in our life, it's, who backstabbed the clarinet player?
Oh, those bloody clarinet players always get in a tough ride, aren't they?
Getting a tough ride, and I feel sorry for clarinet players because clearly clarinets are the way of the future. It's a musical instrument of tomorrow, and we're all just waiting to arrive to
I love me a good woodwind instrument, Tim. Is it it's woodwind, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on, mate.
I don't know.
It's a clarinet. No, the acoustic instrument, timber and brass. No, story in the United States, gone out of hand. And the clarinet player, in the end, has got a massive payout of over $380,000.
And so you should.
But he was denied entry to the biggest clarineting school in the United States in 2014 after being one of the two top, like imagine like the NRL and the AFL or something type of draft. He was number two in the best up-and-coming clarinet players in
How
the country.
How many up-and-coming clarinet players are there?
Oh, there would be millions, as you'd assume.
Oh, and, obviously.
But his girlfriend at the time, because he had to move away if he wanted to accept this university scholarship. It was fully paid for and everything.
But why wouldn't you if you're the best clarinet player?
He got an email from the university saying, sorry, we've actually rejected your scholarship. Can you please go on to the website and retract your application? So that's what he did after he found out. Turns out it was his now ex-girlfriend because she forged an email to him from the university saying this because she didn't want him to move away.
I mean, she didn't even let him follow his clarinet dreams.
Right? This is a movie. This is a film. Remember Whiplash?
Yeah.
That movie about the drums with J.K. Simmons? This is the next one. It's going to be called Glow. And it's going to be a cracker. But how ridiculous. So obviously he eventually found out what had gone on after he went to the university many years later and was speaking to the professor, and they said to him, "Oh, we're so disappointed you ended up turning down our scholarship." And it was a full ride for 4 years. So he's had to go and do street clarinet performing like some joke. And it's all because of his girlfriend hacking because she was too lonely.
So how much money did he get?
$380,000.
Yeah, it's more than that. Surely. Clarinet makers make millions.
Exactly. There probably is one in the world. We should try and get the most famous clarinet player in the world on the show.
Hey, if you play clarinet here in Central Queensland, give us a call. Trending now at hit.com.au.
I don't get to say this very often, but joined now by a Hollywood entertainment reporter, Mr. Dean McCarthy. And Dean, while Jess is away, I thought we'd focus on just some blokey stuff. And blokey stuff is Johnny Depp punching someone that he shouldn't have. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, mate?
It is pretty blokey. All they need to do is it happened on a football field or something. Here's what went down, right? Okay, Johnny Depp is being accused of punching a crew member of a new film that he's starring in called City of Lies. So, ironically. So, anyway, this is what happened. Last year, April 13, 2017, a crew member says that Johnny Depp got violent and punched him. He wants $100,000 from the actor. You may know, Savagery Tim, that the actor is certainly not in a good financial space right now. But I still think I'd go for more than 100 grand.
Well, to be I agree. I think this crew member, like, they could obviously go for a lot more. I'm almost surprised of how low the fine is.
I think 100 grand is really low. And I think look at us just totally scheming this. If they'd gone privately, if they'd kind of done it as like an under the table, quiet behind the boardroom door type thing, probably could have got a bit more. But look, we're finding out. We don't know if he did it yet, but they will be doing an investigation. And of course, Johnny Depp's team have not replied, given no comment yet. So we'll soon find out.
Well, I understand that probably people are thinking, going, $100,000, what are you talking about? That's heaps of money. Because, Dean, look, if I'm being honest, $2,000 would change my life. So I wouldn't want to imagine what $100,000 would do.
I'd be happy with $100,000. Yeah, but I still think that if a multimillionaire, huge, mega movie star punched you in the face, I'd want a mil. Probably a mil.
All right. Well, hopefully it isn't true. But if it is, hopefully the crew member gets what's coming to him. So thank you very much, Dino.
Thanks, Savage Rashim. Bye, guys.
Thanks for that, Dino. You can check out all that and more at hit.com.au. But even though Dean's leaving and Jess isn't here, I'm still fighting. I'm still battling by myself. And I'm going to continue to do that up next when I open up the courtroom of Tim and Jess with You Be the Judge. Jess isn't here, but she has a good record of not being here and winning her cases in the courtroom of Tim and Jess. This one has to do with weddings at dog beaches and photo shoots. I feel like they don't mix.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit. You are about to enter the courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. But the rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session, and every single Tuesday we open up the courtroom of Tim and Jess because there is something so aggressively that we can't agree on that we must bring a judge forward. And we do appreciate the jury chipping in with their advice. But it is not, in the end, up to myself. It's not up to Jess, and it's not up to the jury. It is up to you, the judge, and you can be that judge on 13, 12, 16. First person through is the judge. They could have the worst opinion in the world, but that's the whole point of the game. And I want to talk about something I saw on Saturday at the dog beach. So I took the family there with my little red dog, Remy. We were running around and we got around the corner. And to my absolute fear, which would have been different to a lot of people seeing this, I saw a large gathering of people, but two people in particular. I saw a groom and a bride getting a photo shoot done for their wedding that they had just had. And I thought, how beautiful. But then my second thought was, oh God, no, this is a dog beach. And I felt like, look, I am aware that dog beaches are quite nice beaches in some places, like down in Tanum Sands at Canoe Point. That is a beautiful dog beach. But also, it's an off-leash dog beach. And I had to sprint to grab my dog because she wouldn't have gone over and been aggressive. But what she does is she just sees a group of people and she gets excited. She wants to meet every single one of them. And imagine the chaos that would have been caused if my little red dog, with her little red wet paws covered in sand and dirt, ran up to that wedding dress and ruined it right in front of all of their family and friends, right for the photographer to document for years and years to come. And I had thinking, I was like, yes, this is a beautiful moment. Yes, that this is a beautiful spot to take photos. But why are you taking photos at a dog beach? Dogs are off leashes there. Yes, you should be able to control your dogs, but at the same time, is it worth the risk? And I want to know on 13, 12, 16, weddings at dog beaches, yes or no? Is it my responsibility as a dog owner to see a wedding and be like, oh, maybe I should keep my dog on the lead? Or is it there? Do they have no right to be angry if they get dirty or dogs approach them on the dog beach while they're getting their wedding photos done? 13, 12, 16, wedding photos at a dog beach, yes or no?
You are about to enter the courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important, but the rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Every Tuesday we open the courtroom of Tim and Jess because Jess and I cannot agree on something so aggressively that we need a judge to make a final ruling. And Jess not being here, she has sent me through her opinion on the conversation that is at hand at the moment of wedding photo shoots at dog beaches, yes or no. I saw this on the weekend. I was at the dog beach with my dog, who is a very friendly, wants to meet every single individual in the world ever dog. And I was terrified when I turned around to realize that just around the corner of this dog beach was a beautiful bride, a beautiful groom getting their photos done. And I thought, oh me, oh my dog could ruin a day. And I didn't like to feel like that. And I felt that, I know this might sound petty, but I've driven all the way to the dog beach to let my dog run off leash. I don't want to have to, even if it is just this one time, I don't want to have to put it back on the lead because then she'll be upset and I'll be upset. And I am scared that my dog would ruin the wedding by jumping all over the dress. And Jess thinks it's fine. She said, it's just once off. How often can you see a wedding at a dog beach? But you don't want it to become a trend. But it doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what Jess thinks. It only matters what our judge thinks. And our judge today is Sally from Rockhampton on 13, 12, 16. Now, Sally, given all the information from both sides of the case, even though Jess isn't here to really push hard for herself, where are you leading with wedding photo shoots at a dog beach, yes or no?
Why not just go to a normal beach? No.
See, do you think that I'm responsible if my dog runs up and ruins that wedding dress?
No, that's silly. My dog would be the same, so definitely not.
Well, see, I think that because you don't want the responsibility, because like the reason, I'm assuming you, as you said, you've got a dog, the reason you go to the dog beach is to let them have a run around, and I don't want to go all the way to the dog beach and look, and, it's a
yeah, and there'll be other dogs off lead too, so not ideal.
I was just concerned the whole time that I was there, Sally, and I feel like you would feel the same. And look, I know that it's hard for Jess to defend herself right now as she is not here, but you are the judge and it doesn't matter how much I sway you, doesn't matter how much Jess or the jury sways you, it all comes down to you. And now I need your final ruling, Sally, on 13, yep. 12, 16, wedding shoots at dog beaches, yes or no?
No, absolutely not.
Thank you very much. I will add another tick to the Tim box. Thank you very much, Sally. You're one of my favourite judges. See you, mate. Thank you very much. I love when the judge sides with me. And unfortunately, Jess, I tried to stand up for your side, but I just didn't believe in it at all. I do believe that takes the lead to 20-9 in my favour for all cases in the courtroom of Tim and Jess. So things are really getting out of hand.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
And Jess is recovering from her ACL surgery. I don't know if this is the first you're hearing about it. She doesn't bring it up that much. But she had the surgery late yesterday afternoon in Rockhampton. And from what I'm hearing is she's feeling good this morning. She's just frustrated that it needed three people to help her go to the bathroom. But I'm sure they can sort that out for her. She's on the road to recovery with her knee and should be back next Monday. Might even check in with her tomorrow on the phone once all the happy time drugs wear off. And speaking of happy time drugs, I set her mother, Loretta, a bit of a task to do once Jess had awoken from her surgery late last night. I was very excited to hear the first words that came out of our good friend Jessica's mouth. And her mum has fully delivered and sent me an audio clip of the first words Jess said after coming back to after her ACL surgery. And knowing Jess, if you're a big listener of the show, I feel like this perfectly sums her up, and we do love her.
How are you doing? They fixed my knee. My knee is not broken. No one's bringing me a sandwich. I just want some chippies.
It's very difficult to hear because of the heavy mumbling, but essentially says, my knee is fixed. My knee's no longer broken. Why has no one brought me a sandwich? I just want some chippies. And if that's not our friend Jessica Pantu, then I don't know who is. I honestly don't know who is. The video is incredible. Look, out of respect to Jess, I'm not going to share the video of her waking up from her surgery because, look, when you come to from something like that, you don't really know what's going on. She doesn't recall it, so I feel like we can just erase it from memory. But that audio will stay with me and you forever.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.
The World Cup over in Russia for soccer, it is coming to an end. There's only four teams left. Belgium, France, Croatia and England. And England beat Sweden to make it to the final four. And people are losing their mind over in England, specifically in London. They're all, the term is It's Coming Home, a famous song from a World Cup approach many, many years ago. And English people are losing their mind. They're dancing on the streets, dancing on the top of buses, those double-decker buses. And everything that England's doing at the moment seems to be a winner, which is very rare. England haven't made it this far in a World Cup for a very, very long time. And after beating Sweden this weekend, some footage has emerged of, I honestly think, as funny as it is, it's maybe taking it one step too far, because after England beat Sweden in London, about 30 to 40 English soccer fans went to the local IKEA and started jumping, dancing and chanting about how England beat Sweden. Jumping on the couches, jumping in front of the staff, because obviously IKEA, a Swedish building your own furniture giant, and they've rubbed salt into the wound by chanting in the Swedish store, and it is quite interesting, the footage. I can't play any of the audio because boy me is there swearing in it, and boy me is there words that I cannot play on this radio station. You can check out the video at hit.com.au. It's a bit incredible. A lot of people quite upset, thinking that it's obviously barbaric. IKEA in the UK branch have said, we are aware of a small group of fans celebrating the match result in one of our stores, being both British and Swedish. We were on the edge of our seats during the game, and we would like to say gratis, which I believe is congratulations in Swedish. But look, I don't know what happens when England beats Croatia in the semi-final. I don't even know. I'm hoping Croatia wins, but it will be interesting. I don't know where they're going to invade after Croatia wins, because clearly invasions and Croatia have never gone well.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
Good morning. It is Tim and Jess on Hit CQ, the biggest trending stories across Australia and CQ. And with Jess away, I've decided to release some incredible information that I know that she would be excited about as well, because a particular band is coming to Australia in November, and I've got a snippet of this band right here.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play.
That's right, hey now, Smash Mouth. All-Star, the song there. Smash Mouth, the band, coming to Australia in November. A few regional shows, Brisbane as well, Sydney, Melbourne, Canberra. They have a full list of their regional show on their website. It is going to be interesting to see Smash Mouth coming to town. They haven't been here in a very, 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 very long time. I believe it was 2003, the last time they were here, so if you want your tickets, there is going to be shows in Brisbane and Tweed Heads, so they're the closest ones to us. But fingers crossed, because it's going to be an incredible show. Smash Mouth is back in the biggest way possible. You can sing out that one song you all know very, very hard. You can check out that story plus heaps more at hit.com.au.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Coming next Sunday is a new show to Stan, the streaming service that I think a lot of people have been waiting for. But no one really knew that this was actually going to happen. Sacha Baron Cohen, his latest project is dropping on Stan this Sunday in Australia, and it is called Who is America? So the last year he's been a busy boy. Everyone kind of was like, what's his deal? What's he been up to? And he's been very busy speaking to a lot of political leaders in different types of characters. And look, I wish I could play some audio, but I absolutely cannot. If you're familiar with his other characters, Bruno, Ali G, also Borat, you definitely know that I will not be able to play any of that audio. You can check out the trailer at hit.com.au, but he's very smart the way he goes about it. He actually gets former U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney to sign a waterboarding kit. Now, if you're not familiar with waterboarding, I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's a terrorizing act, but it's just amazing how he can get in these conversations and these interviews with these high-profile people and get away with it. And he has had instances with the police in the past, but this one is taking it to a new level, really investigating Trump's America. I cannot recommend you watching the trailer enough.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.